Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Rhonda Branham, joined with my co-host Monica Siefker. And on today's program, we'll be talking with Monica Richel, president of Indiana University's Students for Life. You may recall that we had Monica on the show last October. Well, we're excited to get her back on so she can tell us all about her pro-life efforts that are in store on the IU campus for this semester. But before we bring her on, let's start off in prayer.
Father and maker of all, you adorn all creation with splendor and beauty and fashion human lives in your image and likeness. Awaken in every human heart reverence for the work of your hands and renew among your people a readiness to nurture and sustain your precious gift of life. Mary, most holy Mother of God, intercede on our behalf for the young people in our land. Give them the graces they need to be salt and light in this world of darkness. Use them as your instruments in helping to renew the face of the earth by building up a culture of life and love. We ask these things through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
And let's go now to this week's In the News.
Nearly 1,000 pro-lifers gathered in Richmond, Virginia this past Thursday to protest the radical and extreme abortion legislation that is being pushed in the Old Dominion state. A recent bill would have permitted abortions for any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy, including while a mother was in labor. The bill was defeated in committee last week, but the outrage continues against state lawmakers and Governor Ralph Northam for not only their support of killing unborn babies, but also for their tacit approval of infanticide. According to London's tabloid newspaper The Sun, experiments that take the organs of aborted babies and implant them into mice are taking place in the U.S. as a way to test new drugs. According to the report, researchers take mice and destroy their immune systems through radiation and then graft livers or thymus glands from aborted babies onto the mice to create functioning human immune systems for drug testing. Some of these experiments are taxpayer-funded through the National Institutes of Health. The Trump administration has been working over the past several months to end such unethical practices, but much pressure and effort still needs to be applied as aborted baby body parts continue to be a valuable commodity in U.S. research institutions, universities, and medical centers. And in a recent frightening display of just how far the anti-natalist movement is gaining traction in some of the minds of young people around the world, a man in India is making plans to sue his parents for giving birth to him without his consent. 27-year-old Raphael Samuel is a member of an anti-natalist group which advocates against childbearing on the premises that it intentionally forces a human being into the world without first obtaining said human's consent, and that it also puts a strain on the environment and the planet's resources. I love my parents and we have a great relationship, but they had me for their own joy and their pleasure, Samuel said. On a Facebook page that is run by Samuel, other anti-natalists are chiming in with similar thoughts like, isn't forcing a child into this world and then forcing it to have a career, kidnapping, and slavery? And the only reason your children are facing problems is because you had them. Though such arguments and thinking may seem far-fetched, the movement has been growing and seems a natural extension of legalized abortion. This week, Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill petitioned the Supreme Court to review the preliminary injunction against the 18-hour ultrasound provision found in the 2016 Dignity for the Unborn Act. The bill was blocked by U.S. District Court Judge Tanya Walton Pratt in April of 2017 and had required that any woman seeking an abortion must be given the opportunity to view an ultrasound of her unborn baby at least 18 hours prior to the abortion. Citing statistics from the Indiana State Department of Health's Induced Termination of Pregnancy Report, Indiana Right to Life noted that Indiana's abortion numbers rose dramatically in 2017 following the injunction that had been placed on the bill by Judge Pratt. This isn't about convenience to women, it's about abortion providers not wanting women to be fully informed about the humanity of their unborn children when making life or death decisions, declared Mike Fichter, president of Indiana Right to Life. It is remarkable that Planned Parenthood, with a budget exceeding $15 million in Indiana, complained in its suit the law might require them to purchase ultrasound equipment for locations other than its four abortion clinics in the state, Fichter said. And an estimated 17 women came into the Bloomington Planned Parenthood for an abortion this past Thursday as torrential rains fell and a tornado warning was issued. Women came into the abortion center from varying counties throughout the state, as well as from Kentucky. And that's your weekly in the news.
Now, it's already been about 3 weeks since the National March for Life was held in our nation's capital. And one of the most frequent comments that you hear is, there are so many young people here at the march and involved in the pro-life movement. And seeing all of these young, vibrant, beautiful faces gives us great hope that our future is in good hands.
Yeah, it really does, Rhonda. And we've got one such young lady on the line with us today, Monica Richel, president of IU Students for Life. Hi, Monica.
Hi, ladies.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us and our listeners. Now, I don't want to embarrass you, Monica, but when I said your busy schedule, that might be an understatement because you're juggling this interview in between your tasks of being a full-time college student, your part-time work with Students for Life, in addition to your volunteer work with them as the president of IU Students for Life. And you're also making a holy hour today in the Adoration Chapel there at St. Charles. And then you add in all these other little things that are life, and you are one very busy young lady, aren't you?
That is true. Thank you. I justify it by saying that all these things that I'm doing, It's the Lord's work. And so I say, all right, Lord, if you want me to do these things, then you're going to have to be the one to help me get through them all.
No, beautiful. And there you go. And I'm sure the Eucharist, that time in front of him, is a big blessing and a source of a lot of grace, too.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you really do give us old-timers a lot of hope, I'll say that.
Okay, Monica, so you and IU Students for Life, which, by the way, I caught on EWTN's nightly news program last Friday. You've represented IU very well, Monica.
Oh, thank you.
So IU Students for Life members are there on the campus of Indiana University here in Bloomington, trying to make a difference by educating your fellow students on the life issues, and particularly that of abortion. Now, the motto of Indiana University is Lux et Veritas, which means light and truth. How do you see the work that IU Students for Life is doing as helping to remain true to that great motto?
Yeah, I think the motto and the mission of Students for Life at IU just align perfectly, right? Because we are here talking to students about the dignity and the beauty of human life, that's from conception to natural death. And the pro-abortion side will say that this issue is a woman's rights issue. But I argue that it is a human rights issue. Now, we do have to acknowledge that when we're talking about an unplanned pregnancy, there is a woman involved and her life is also valuable. But we have to acknowledge the truth, and the truth is that there is a life living and growing and developing inside of her, and that is the life and truth that we are just trying to share.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so Monica, let's talk about the March for Life, and that took place on January 18th. Now, I've seen estimates that of the approximately 500,000 marchers that attend, 80% are youth. So really, the pro-life movement is essentially a youth movement. So let's start off just with the easy questions. So who did you go with and how did you get there?
Yeah, so there were 15 people who went from Indiana University, and we went with Marion University and Butler. So in total, there was about 155 people, and we took three buses, and we bused overnight and made it into the D.C. area at about 5 a.m., just in time to go to Mass at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, which was really incredible. And then after that, we went to the march. And then on Saturday, we went to the Students for Life of America National Conference, where we heard from incredible speakers like Josh Brom and Stephanie Gray and Ryan Bomberger. And there were all sorts of different talks, things ranging from pro-life apologetics, to how to host a good club meeting, to talks on theology of the body and natural family planning. So it was a really wholesome conference.
Wow, a lot of educational opportunities there, huh?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, so what would you say, what was the highlight of the March for Life for you?
for myself, I would say my highlight of the weekend was actually at the Students for Life of America conference, where I had the opportunity to meet Rabia Scott, who plays Cheryl in the new film that's coming out in March called Unplanned.
Oh, great. And,
yeah, that film just talks about Abby Johnson, and it tells her story of going from working at a Planned Parenthood to becoming, you know, an active member in the pro-life movement.
Yeah. And so when did you guys get back in then from the march?
We got back in on Sunday.
Okay, so that was a quick trip, wasn't it?
Yes, fast turnaround.
Well, thank you for going and representing us. Thank you.
Yes. Now, Monica, at this year's March for Life, we heard that there were protesters from the Women's March, and there were some high school students, Catholic high school students, who were harassed while waiting for the bus home. You know, with a pro-life administration wanting to defund Planned Parenthood, more pro-life judges being appointed in lifetime seats, and restrictions being passed at the state levels, are you seeing the scene in Washington, D.C. becoming more hostile during the March for Life events?
I would have to agree that, yes, there is definitely more opposition that is coming out. And, you know, I guess, dare I say, the liberal media has really shown us that they're not going to stop. You know, they were attacking young high school students and making them the cover story of all the news headlines. And I honestly think that it's because they know they're losing.
Yeah.
They, you know, can see that the end to abortion, legal abortion in this country, the end is in sight. So they're afraid, and they're kind of do whatever they think it's going to take.
Yeah, it's like a mode of distraction, isn't it? They need to distract
right.
from that.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, I think, you know, the protesters, though, that were at the Supreme Court from the Women's March, they were so outnumbered because there were so many, like you said, 500,000 people there marching for life, which is really exciting. And I hope that it moves their hearts a little bit to maybe wonder, what is it that these people are also passionate about?
Certainly. Now, before we move on to what you've got in store for this coming semester on the Bloomington IU campus, I want to hear about how your first annual Pregnant on Campus banquet went. But Monica, before you start telling us about that, could you tell us a little bit about what the Pregnant on Campus initiative is and what its purpose is?
Of course. So the Pregnant on Campus initiative is Students for Life of America's initiative to make college campuses more accommodating and welcoming to pregnant and parenting students. So we know that the abortion industry tries to tell young women that they cannot have a baby and be successful, right? They can't have a mom and be a mom and have a career. And we just know that that is so not true. I'm sure we can all think of women who had children when they were a student, and they're doing perfectly well for themselves. Of course, it's a little bit more challenging, but it's well worth it. So with the Pregnant on Campus initiative, we just want to be that voice saying, you can, it won't be easy, but we will be here for you to help you. So students have been doing things like changing university policies and forming marketing partnerships with their local pregnancy resource centers, and just helping the students in whatever way they can.
Mm-hmm. And so this banquet was held to raise funds for this important project. So did you have a good turnout and raise some necessary funds?
We did. We had about 60 people attend, and we raised hundreds of dollars that we're going to be putting to good use this semester, sponsoring pregnant and parenting students on our campus. Our hope is to start a pregnant and parenting support group so that those students can get together and just know that they're not alone in this.
Mm-hmm. And have you seen students yet making use of your Pregnant on Campus ministry?
We haven't yet. We have spoken with students we've met students who are parents, and they're very interested and they're very excited about all of this. But, of course, they are parents, full-time parents and full-time students, so they have busy schedules. So we just have to cross that barrier, continue marketing, mm-hmm. forming good relationships with them so that they know that this is a place where they are loved and supported.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Okay, so at that banquet, tell us about the keynote speaker. Her name was Melissa Coles, because I bet a lot of our listeners have never heard of her and her incredible story.
Yeah, so Melissa Coles is wonderful. I encourage your listeners to check her out. She co-starred in a short film called I Lived on Parker Avenue, and the film is only about 30 minutes long, and it's accessible online. If you just Google I Lived on Parker Avenue, you can go right on there and watch the film. And it tells the story about Melissa when she found out that she was pregnant when she was in high school, and she placed her child with an adoptive family. And so the film goes through their journey of reconnecting and meeting for the first time. And it just really emphasizes the beauty of adoption. So Melissa, we watched the film and Melissa spoke and answered questions from people in the crowd. And it was really incredible. We were very fortunate to have her.
Yeah, that is. I know I watched it myself, too. And again, I'll just remind our listeners, it's called I Lived on Parker Avenue, and it's available for free online, as you said, Monica. And you can also purchase the DVDs, and that, and kind of doing that also helps ensure that pro-life features like this continue to be made.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was your big project for last semester. What other things did your group do last year?
Last semester, we did outreach on our campus with the Women's Care Center. The Women's Care Center is located on North College Avenue, and they're actually located right next to the Planned Parenthood. So we went out on our campus with them, and we're handing out information to students with a little piece of chocolate to give them a little bit of an incentive to take the flyer, because so many students don't know that the resources are available. You know, things like free pregnancy tests and parenting classes and babysitting. So that is, I think, a huge step into saving lives, is to just letting students know that there is help available.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So, and now, what have you got planned for this spring semester there on campus?
So we, of course, are going to continue doing more outreach to raise awareness that there are pro-life students on the Indiana University campus, and just making a voice for ourselves. So doing more outreach with the Women's Care Center and the Hannah Center, taking strides to starting that pregnant and parenting student support group that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And sometime in February, we'll be hosting the Students for Life of America Spring Tour. And this tour will expose all the things that Planned Parenthood likes to keep in the dark.
Yeah.
So we hear about how, you know, they deliver, you know, breast exams and pap smears and things like that. But Students for Life of America has looked through their annual report, found the actual numbers, and the things are pretty shocking.
Yeah.
And those whole message. Those services are actually going down, decreasing substantially, aren't they?
They are. And so that's what that's the message that we're hoping to get out to college students.
Exactly. That Planned Parenthood truly is an abortion business. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Monica, how can your listeners learn more about these events and what you've got going on?
Yeah. So we are active on social media. If you go on Facebook and look up Students for Life at Indiana University, you can find us. We're also on Instagram if anyone is doing Instagram. And if anyone is interested in getting on our emailing list, that's also an option. So you'll get our monthly newsletter that have all the different events that we'll have going on for the month.
And what is the website that they can go to?
Yeah, so if they go to sflatiu.weebly.com, so it is sflatiu.weebly is weebly.com. That is, should link them to our website, and they can send us a message saying that they would like to be on our mailing list, and we will get them added.
Great. That's what we needed to hear. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, Monica, you know, you're part of, I think, that millennial generation.
Yes.
And you guys sometimes often get a bad rap, don't you? I mean, I know I see a lot of reports and there's name calling. I mean, you see the crybabies, snowflakes, spoiled brats, all right? You're associated with safe spaces and these participation trophies, right? You know, but I personally believe that our youth today are carrying a very heavy weight because they are survivors, so to speak. I mean, you guys know that when you were in the womb, you were not legally protected. So I just got to think a lot of our youth, at least subconsciously, say to themselves, how did I get so lucky? How did I survive? And even many of you probably have a sibling who was aborted. So can you comment on this survivor syndrome? And do you see this as being a big motivator for youth getting involved in the Right to Life movement?
Absolutely. I see it playing a big part in people's involvement. Like you said, those people who have siblings who have been aborted, you know, those mothers who have been vulnerable and told their living children that they have siblings that, you know, they're not going to meet, you know, and we pray that they'll meet them one day in heaven. But those are the people who have the really powerful stories that really touch hearts and change minds. Mm-hmm. So it's just another example of how God can make good out of any unfortunate situation.
Yeah. So, Monica, do you see within your lifetime a law being passed that will end abortion by giving legal protection to the unborn? And what do you think is key to accomplishing this?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if we think back to our history, you know, we outlawed slavery in this country, and that was a huge human rights, violation. And same with what Hitler did and the Nazis, you know, dehumanizing people based on their beliefs and their ailments. And I truly believe that the day is coming when people will say that dismembering unborn babies is the biggest human rights violation of our time, and it is not empowering to women. But rather, it's an example that society has failed women. And I think the key is to just educating people, specifically on just the abortion procedure. There's a video on YouTube that Live Action did with former abortionist Dr. Anthony Levitino, mm-hmm. and where he goes through and he just talks about the abortion process. And I've had the opportunity to show that video to people who are abortion-minded, you know, who are pro-abortion or pro-choice. And they've just changed their mind completely on the spot once they know wow. what this procedure is and what it does.
That's excellent, yeah. And those videos are excellent, aren't they? They are a great educational tool. And I think it's, what, abortionprocedures.com those can be found at. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, Father Frank Pervone has said that abortion will end once America sees what abortion really is. And there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. Okay, so Monica, you're a senior and you're going to be leaving us at the end of this semester, right?
Yes, that's the plan.
Yeah. Okay, so what are your plans then for what are you going to do after you graduate?
Yeah, so my hope is to stay in the Indianapolis area. I am a fashion design student, so I'll be doing work on my own fashion line of children's clothing.
Oh, wow.
And the hope is, that the proceeds from that will benefit the healing of post-abortive women.
Wow.
So I can keep you tuned on that. But for the most part, I'll be continuing my work with Students for Life of America. Right now, I'm working part-time for them as the Pregnant on Campus Coordinator. So I will be continuing my work with them.
Well, we are going to have to definitely have you back on and talk more about that line of clothing.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that.
So, Monica, do you keep in touch with Students for Life graduates? And what pro-life work are they doing now in their communities?
Yeah, so I have not yet had the opportunity to connect with young professional pro-lifers. I'm sure once I am a young professional pro-lifer, I'll connect with people more so. I know that Students for Life of America has a new initiative that they're calling Pro-Life Future that does exactly that, that keeps, you know, young professional pro-lifers connected so that they have a place where they can build community and engage in fellowship and activism and encourage others to join them, to be trained up as sidewalk counselors and pregnancy resource center volunteers, and do things like speak at the state houses and at rallies and help get pro-life laws passed.
That's great.
And that's part of the Pro-Life Future initiative.
Yeah. So do you have a president lined up yet? I mean, how is that going to work? Who's going to come and take your place? Do you know yet?
That is on my list of things to do this semester, is to recruit and train up a team for next year who can continue this mission and this work on our campus.
Absolutely.
Well, Monica, we've got to wrap it up here today. I know your organization always appreciates donations. So is there a way to get those monetary donations to you?
Yeah, of course. So first thing first, definitely reach out to us at our group email, which is sflatiu@gmail.com. So sflatiu@gmail.com. And let us know. And then I can direct you on how to get that donation to the organization.
Monica Richel, president of IU Students for Life, thank you for joining us today here on Pro-Life to the Max. And thank you for all that you and your apostolate are doing on IU's Bloomington campus to help build up a culture of life and love.
Thank you, ladies, and thank you for all the work that you are doing, broadcasting our mission and our message, and reaching people in Bloomington and beyond.
Oh, thank you. And you know what? You guys are not just the future leaders of this movement. I say you're the leaders right here and now, too. So we wish you the best in your endeavors, and we'll be keeping you always in our heart and prayers.
Thank you, and I'll be doing the same as well.
Thank you.
Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life has said this about the young people involved in the pro-life movement. Straightforwardness is a characteristic of young people when confronting fundamental moral issues like pro-life. They think in straight lines, unaccustomed to the layers of complication that years of enduring resistance from opponents can bring. Young people can frame certain questions with a simple and direct clarity. And while they always need to be open to learn from those with more experience, they also need to be listened to. We need to let them shape our own thinking, end quote.
Beautifully stated, Rhonda, and very true. Well, we thank God for Monica Ritchell and all of the faithful members of the IU Students for Life. And our action item for this week is to ask you to please offer up a decade of the Rosary for them and their mission there at IU, that God will open up paths for the IU Students for Life to truly bring Lux et Veritas, His light and His truth, to all of the souls there on campus. Thank you so much for being with us today on Pro-Life to the Max. Next week, Tracy Windsor, co-founder of Be Not Afraid, an organization that supports parents who are experiencing a prenatal diagnosis, will join us, sharing some very important information and resources. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.